Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and in today's episode, I'm joined once again by Clay Worrell, who is the Executive Director of the Calvary Global Network. Clay is a church planter, e-bike rider, and all-around good guy. It's great having Clay back on the show. We also have with us on the show today, Pastor Brian Broderson, who's the founder and president of Calvary Global Network. Brian is also the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, the president of Calvary Chapel Bible College, and the director of Creation Fest UK. Brian is extensively involved in missions and church planting around the world. Well, in today's episode, we're talking about Cultivate, the church planting program here at CGN. We're talking about Calvary Chapel. We're talking about the vision that we have of planting 1,000 churches in 10 years. Is it possible? Well, we're going to find out. Here's Brian and Clay. Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and today I am joined by my good friends, Clay Worrell, who's the Executive Director of CGN, Calvary Global Network. And we have as our very special privileged guest today on the show, Pastor Brian Broderson, who is the Commander-in-Chief? What do you prefer to call yourself?
Well, you know, President, Commander-in-Chief,
President,
I think it's
sort of
the same thing.
So, of
But whose privilege is it? Is it my privilege to be here or your privilege to have me? I wasn't quite sure about that.
Great question.
It's our privilege to be in one another's company.
That's a good word.
I agree with that.
And we're going to be talking about church planting. Pastor Brian, as many of you know, has planted churches, and most notably in England, which you have a huge heart for England. Has that diminished at all, or are you still going strong?
It hasn't diminished in one sense at all, because I'm still deeply involved in, you know, ministry in the UK. I haven't been so involved in actual church planting in the UK for quite a few years. But I'm open to that happening again. Obviously, most of what we do these days has to do with our festival, Creation Fest.
Oh, yeah, Creation Fest.
And, but, you know, we have a Bible college campus in the north of England in York, and we do leadership conferences, and we'd love to see new, you know, more churches planted. But, yeah.
Would you say it's the ground is just as hard now as it has ever been, or is it opening up a little bit?
You know, I think it is softening up. And I've always sort of thought that from the time I was there, you know, 25 plus years ago. I sensed that even though there's a, seems like a hard, maybe like a hard surface, but if you just sort of get below the surface, I think even back 25 years ago, there was an openness. I think it's actually more open today than it has been, more open in regard to individual people, you know, being touched by the gospel. I think we're going to see more of that in the days ahead.
Great.
Nice. And Clay's with us. And Clay, you're taking care of business here at CGN. We want to talk today about the Cultivate program, especially, and then also get Pastor Brian's input on kind of his heart for the network in general and specifically for church planting. So, Clay, what's up?
You know, just hanging out.
Same old.
Yeah.
Clay also has his bicycle here. It looks like a motorcycle. What's it called?
It's a Super 73.
Super 73.
It's my commuter, daily commuter.
Yep. How much gas does it take?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero gas.
Yep.
Yeah. It's electric.
It's the future. Have you guys seen, I was listening to something about AI.
Oh, yeah. Have you played with that chat AI, whatever it's called, that AI chat thing? It's incredible. It's like it's in beta, so it's free right now. I think eventually it'll be a subscription. But you can ask this AI chat. You're basically chatting with artificial intelligence, and you can ask it anything. I've like typed in, you know, write a sermon on X text, and it'll use the wealth of knowledge of the internet and write like this little mini sermon for you, and it's like not bad.
I need that.
Yeah, no, but it's controversial because it's like, how is this going to impact like students in school, and plagiarism will be so much harder to detect because you can literally just say summarize this book or write a book report on it's
I mean, basically they're saying this is the end of homework.
potentially.
There will never be homework again because no kid
right. Well,
with a computer is going to do homework. They're just going to type it in and say.
Yeah. A friend of mine was actually saying that they think that they should, and they may do this, have some sort of service that perhaps you can even subscribe to where you can just like basically reverse image search, but like reverse AI search and put it in and see if that originated from chat AI or not, which would be a great idea. I don't think it'd be that difficult because I'm obviously a programmer.
I've just seen the things that you put in pictures. Have you done that where you put in your pictures?
My grandson did. Yeah. He did an AI thing when he was
for
visiting.
You or for him?
For him. Okay. No, they tried to do me. They were like, give me your phone. We're going to do this. And I did not let them do it.
Yeah, that's wise.
Yeah. And then I saw what he did, you know, a lot of it, he sort of resembled a vampire in many of those AI photos. There are a couple of them, he looked really, really good. I said, you should just use that as your
a lot of people do.
Picture.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing it, but I think it costs like 10 bucks or something.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, you don't want to spend 10 bucks.
No, I'm not spending 10
you're,
bucks.
Because you're
good looking. I look good enough. I'm okay.
You're good looking now.
Yeah, that's true.
When you get older, then you want to probably take advantage of the technology.
Well, I'm getting older, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Back to the subject at hand. That diversion.
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and if you goof around too much, they get kind of annoying.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's just get to the series.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm just starting out, so I need that wisdom. Okay. Calvary Global Network has just officially become its own independent ministry separate from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And that's a great thing.
It is.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good
thing. You were helpful in doing that, Clay?
I tried to be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so it's actually a really encouraging thing because as many who are listening will probably know, this church that we're actually sitting in front of today, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, was the birthplace of Calvary Chapel. You know, this is the church that the Lord used to bring about the whole family
the
of churches.
First that Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, that we're a part of. And because of that, this has been the hub of all things Calvary Chapel, especially as Pastor Chuck was pastoring here, and he was such a key kind of pastor to all the pastors. And then also, the Lord has used this same church, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, to give birth to Calvary Global Network through Brian's leadership, and rightly so. But we really felt, and when I say we, I mean Brian and the executive team of CGN, that for the future of CGN, we really need to be an autonomous and independent ministry or organization that's able to serve the family of churches going forward. And so rather than being an auxiliary of one of the local churches. And so we started that process last year. We became a 501c3. And then a little bit later, actually, it might have been the year before the 501c3 was established. And then the middle of last year, we took the step to full organizational and financial autonomy,
and that includes
really
funding and everything. So funding comes from the churches within the network.
It does, yeah.
Voluntarily.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, nothing will ever be compulsory, but we are encouraging the churches who are a part of CGN and catch the vision and want to participate in the things that we're doing together as a family of churches to contribute as the Lord leads them, because. Yeah, and that's another part of it. And Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa has been unbelievably generous through the origins of CGN and even still as we're kind of getting on our own feet. But we really do need to see the family of churches participating in funding the ministry that we're doing together.
Mm-hmm. And part of that ministry is the Cultivate Church Planting Initiative. Here's the question that people may have. What part of or percentage of Calvary Global Network would you say is your heart to plant churches? In other words, you have church planting networks that's all they do. That's what they're all about. Every church is church planting churches. Calvary Global Network has a huge heart for church planting, but there's other aspects of it as well. But it's kind of come to the forefront, especially with the Cultivate program that I get to be a part of and this podcast being launched and all that. I mean, how important is church planting in CGN, Brian?
I think it's, to me, it's a very important part, but I think, you know, a little bit of clarification. We are not looking to, as, you know, Cultivate or CGN, we're going to go plant a church.
Yep.
What we're hoping to do is come alongside people who have a vision to plant churches, but maybe don't have the know-how or the processes or whatever, or the experience. Mm-hmm. And we want to assist in that. So that the Cultivate is basically prepping people yep. for church planting, right?
Yeah, and that's the whole vision of Cultivate, is to come alongside the local church, not to become a hub yeah. in and of ourselves
yeah.
as the network. We're not asking potential church planters to travel out to this place right. where right. we're going to stamp them and brand them and send them out to plant churches. We're going to simply come alongside the local church.
Yeah, and I, you know, I mean, that's been just a huge part of my vision for lots and lots of years when I was pastoring in Vista, California, before I ever went to the UK. The Lord just, I stumbled into church planting, and I just... It just became something that was part, just became part of our DNA. And then I've carried that with me from, you know, from that time. And then I went to Britain. And when I ended up leaving the UK after about 5 years of ministry there, we sent out a half a dozen guys to plant churches in other parts of the UK from there. And then since I came back to the US and back here to Costa Mesa in 2000, we've planted a number of churches out of this church. So it's just part of, in a sense, kind of just part of yeah. who I am, what my ministry calling is. And I've said this over the years, and I think we've now kind of come as a collective group, we've come to a place. But I've said this many times over at conferences, that, you know, I believe that we should have a Jesus loving, God fearing, Bible believing, gospel preaching church in every city, town, and village in the world.
Amen.
Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah. yeah.
So obviously we can't do all of that, but uh-huh. you know, we've kind of set a goal, just something to aim for, you know, right? If you're aiming at nothing, you're gonna hit nothing.
That's
but
right.
if you have some sort of a goal, we've said, well, what if we planted? What if we just aim for 1,000 churches in 10 years?
Yeah,
I don't know if we'll reach 1,000 churches in 10 years, but I think if just the people right now that we have in the network decided we are going to plant churches that plant churches, I think we yeah. could do 1,000 churches oh,
yeah.
in 10 years.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this because there's a group of us that are part of this core team and Cultivate planning and stuff, and with the network that we already have in place of churches, it would not be that hard if we just, even if we said, here's something that we can pray about as a church. Yep. You're a local church, you have 50 people, 100 people, that's the average.
Yeah.
Pray about this. We're going to help you as Cultivate, as Calvary Global Network. We'll have the resources available. We'll have the coaches available, the assessment tools, everything you need, financial help. Pray about planting at least one church in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do think that for whatever reason, a lot of guys just don't think that way. And maybe they just don't think they can do it. And especially if you're pastoring a smaller
yeah.
church,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
you think, well, gosh, we're trying to get this church going. What do you mean we got to plant a church
yeah.
now? But what they don't realize is that vision to plant a church could bring so much life to
yes.
the existing church.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's not just something that we think will happen. We've seen it happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, I mean, here we are. We're sitting here having this conversation, the three of us. All of us have planted churches.
Yep.
Brian, you are right smack in the middle of a church plant, early on in the process, but
yep.
amazing progress you guys yep. have just made, as you shared with us at the conference recently, that this is one that's just completely outside of the way you've thought or even done things in the past.
Yep.
And the Lord's just kind of plopped you down somewhere and said, okay, we're going to do this.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons why I've always had a heart for church planting, as you know, Pastor Brian, but one of the reasons why I believe that this is a season of church planting that we're going into, that's how I feel, and I know that you do as well.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like, even though I was dragging my feet, I shared this with a few guys, dragging my feet going into this new church plant, because it's not easy
sure.
planting a church. You know, we're not here to say, it's easy, just everybody can do it. But it is possible. But I was almost dragging my feet into it, and the Lord was leading that, making things happen, putting things in place. I think it's if a pastor of a church, you don't maybe want to plant a church yourself, but you're saying, I want to be part of this I don't think we should call it a challenge, or like the ice bucket challenge. Plant a church in 10 years, ice bucket challenge.
Vision.
Maybe if it, anyway, that you say, hey, that if you're saying this is possible and you have the resources and you'll help a guy like me who's, you know, relatively unknown in the middle of wherever you are, it is possible.
Yes.
And we are going to do this. And it would be great to have you be part of it.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think, you know, you have these smaller churches that have, you know, young men who, or just somebody in general who feels called to go and plant a church. And then you find yourself in this situation where it's like, yeah, I see the calling on this family and I affirm it. I'd love to see them go plant, but I have no idea, or I just don't have the resources, or wouldn't even know where to start to help them to go do this. And that's one of the things I think it's brilliant about Cultivate is somebody who finds himself in that situation. Well, we built that infrastructure, mm-hmm. and it's not that it's this rigid thing where it's like, you know, one size fits all. You plug and play.
Very flexible.
And we come alongside of that local pastor and that planter and cater this program to that context that they find themselves with. And I just think that that's amazing. You know, somebody who's planted churches and pastored small churches in my time leading, you know, how cool is it that there's something, this group, this family of churches that we can be a part of that can come alongside and help us do this kingdom work.
Totally.
And I think too, sometimes people don't realize that, I mean, this is really the Great Commission, the mandate. Yeah. It really is, in the end, it is plant churches. What Jesus says, go make disciples of all people groups. And we know from the rest of the New Testament, obviously the apostles thought that he was saying, go start churches, because right. That's exactly what they did.
Yes.
And we know historically that discipleship, which is what we're called to do, happens best, ideally, in the context of a Christian community,
yeah, that's right.
of a church. So
yeah.
it really is, it is the mission of the church to replicate itself, to
that's
keep
right.
going, you know, from place to place. And we all know this, you know, you long for, that's why I said earlier, you long for in every community just some place where you could send somebody to and say, you know what, you've just met Jesus, this is where you need to go, this is where you're going to get plugged in, this is where you're going to mature, this is where you're going to become fruitful. And we've got to have good churches. And so I think we're in a good place. I've thought about this before too, and some people said, well, you know, why are you guys, you're making this sort of really structured kind of a thing, and now it seems more like a program, and it used to be also organic,
yeah,
and so forth. And yes, true to some extent. What a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the church planting, honestly, in the movement of Calvary Chapel happened by really a very small number of churches did the church planting.
Yeah.
Just a lot of guys send a lot of other guys out. In other words, a lot of churches never had the vision or planted churches. So, but nevertheless, we ended up with a network of some, what, 1,500, 1,800, who knows what the number is. So I've thought, well, if we did that unintentionally,
yeah.
what would it be like to just have a little bit of intention?
Yeah.
And there's nothing the matter with having intention, right? There's nothing the matter with planning. Sometimes, even though God is the God of ultimate precision, and all we have to do is look at any aspect of creation, and we can find that out.
That's
somehow,
right.
we always think that God is the God of chaos.
Yeah.
And so,
like, if you're spirit-filled, it's going to be chaotic. Like, nope, the spirit doesn't work with any plans.
Yeah, no, we don't plan anything. We just...
we just trust in the spirit.
Exactly.
So. And obviously, there's got to be a balance, but you mentioned the apostles and the church planting that they did, and Apostle Paul was very strategic in
yes.
what he did. He was very methodical and planned out, and so I think it's a great lesson to learn. It doesn't mean that you're not following the Spirit if you're making plans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I wanted to return to your original question there, Brian, about, like, you know, how much of CGN is about church planting, and you know, when I think about that, think about, like, Calvary Chapel has always been a relational family of churches, right? Like, that's our foundation is that we are well, a family of churches that share the same DNA, and we're really good at hanging out together and you know, historically going to conferences and things like that. And so when I think about it, it's like we want to retain that. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that we're doing as a network has that same foundation of being like-minded, autonomous fellowships that have relationship with one another. And then this church planting initiative is what we are called to do together from that foundation of relationship. And of course, it's not the only thing that we do. We've got initiatives that are developing in order to help care for and coach pastors and leaders of the churches in the network. We have initiative that is in geared towards women in leadership to give them really a network of their own to be able to connect together and to care for them and coach them and encourage them and whatnot and many other things. But really, like Brian was saying, the heartbeat of CGN is planting churches, because that is the call of the Great Commission.
Exactly. And Calvary Chapel churches, but Brian, you have a lot of relationships outside of Calvary Chapel, mm-hmm. which have been helpful in this. And I know that as far as our little group of within Cultivate with Nick, Katie, and a few of us have been reaching out to different networks. We had a guy on the show from the Acts 29 network, and they do a lot of church planting. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the value in not just keeping to ourselves when it comes to, because we're planting churches in the kingdom of God, which includes, surprise, more than just Calvary Chapel churches. But how do you see that as a value and as far as what we're doing here?
Yeah, I think it's super important, because I think, it's just like the idea that, can I learn from other people or not? You know, some Bible teachers say, I don't use commentaries, I don't use anything, I just read my Bible and get it directly from the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said, the man who will not use another person's brain proves that he has no brain of his own. And so I think if we think that we don't have anything that we can learn or anything that we can help other people with, I think we're making a mistake. Yeah. And I think we're diminishing the potential. So, I mean, obviously you have to be like-minded in the essentials. But apart from that, I think that we should strive to do that. And I personally think, like City to City in New York, founded by Tim Keller, Tim helped plant churches, and he didn't say you have to be a Presbyterian church to be helped by City to City. Yeah. Tim's not a Pentecostal by any stretch, but he helped plant Pentecostal churches. Yeah. I mean, obviously we want to plant churches that share our philosophy of ministry, but I think that we need to have some flexibility to just see, hey, here are people that are like-minded. They love Jesus. They love the Word of God. They're preaching the gospel. Maybe they're not connected. You know, there's a lot of independent guys out there, and they don't necessarily want to join Calvary because that's not their DNA, but they say, man, I love what you guys are doing, and we want to plant this church. I personally would say, great. Let's give them all the help we can. Yeah.
And there's also a lot of independent guys out there who are part of Calvary Chapel, but feel a sense of aloneness. They're on their own. Those are the ones that we want to hit as well. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
And I want to come back to that point that you made at the beginning, Brian, of as we're working with Cultivate Planting Churches, Calvary Global Network, we ourselves planting the churches, we're coming alongside others to plant. We're not stamping our brand. It's not like you have to put Cultivate or whatever on the door. This is Cultivate Church Plant.
Like a NASCAR.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. If it was like NASCAR, we'd just have a little, the ones that only pay $100,000, they just get the little sticker on the bottom. But that's not, we're working with church planters that are also in other networks, Send Network and things like that, because the heart of it all is to see the churches planted, not to get our brand, as it were, out there. So
Yeah, and like you said, but just again, to be very, very clear on this, we're not inviting, hey, come on down to Costa Mesa and we'll set you up with a, we'll give you a church planting pack
right, package right.
and we'll send you out with a pocket full of money to plant a church.
Nope, not like that at all. Yeah.
No, and that's one of the biggest values of the Cultivate program is the long-term commitment to follow up with the coaching. If you go on the website, cultivatechurchplanting.com, there's a whole list of coaches that are going to follow up, that are going to follow along in the process just to help mm-hmm. see this get done. Right. So,
and then going back to we're kind of where we started with CGN, you know, so are we just exclusively church planting? No, we're not.
Right.
We believe all of us, for the most part, are pastors either currently or we have served in a pastoral role. We believe in pastoral ministry. We believe in caring mm-hmm. for leaders. We want to do that. We do conferences all around the world that are primarily to just strengthen and build up existing ministries.
Sure.
And so it's a bigger vision than just planting churches. It's,
right, because the church gets planted, now what? I mean, you've got a lot to do.
Yeah, we want to maintain the relationship, and we want to be an encouragement along the way. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I love it. I love it. So what's the most important country to plant a church in right now? Is it England? Is it United States? What's in your heart?
Well, I don't think so much in those kinds of terms. You know, I said something the other day in my opening message for this missions conference that we're at, that I don't believe that we should minister based on need.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because if you just looked at need, then everybody would have to make a beeline to one place.
North Korea.
Where the greatest need is. And you can't get in. So I think it's calling. You know, you look for what is God calling you to do, because our theme at this conference is open doors. Jesus is opening doors. Sometimes we don't even know he's opening doors, and he's going to send somebody to a place that you're like, what? Wait, are you sure? Why are you going there? When I left the UK to come back to the United States, I did not want to come back to the United States.
Right.
Because in my mind, this is the last place I want to go.
Yeah.
We got plenty of churches. I'm in a country that I think needs more churches, and I'm going to go back to a country that has plenty of churches. But you know what? God was calling me to go back. So I went back. And we've all seen that, you know.
Yeah.
Brian, I mean, when you ended up leaving New Zealand, I tried my best to force you to stay there. But and therefore, I have become persona non grata among some of your children. But
yep, that's right. My daughter's forgiven you, by the way, I think, at this point.
I just felt so bad when you told me how much your child...
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, wondering, what the heck are you guys talking? We were in New Zealand pastoring a wonderful Calvary Chapel church there, and Brian had come over to visit, and he has a heart for New Zealand, and it's just a wonderful country. And our daughter, who was in high school, was upset with him because he said, I think he said something like, thus saith the Lord, you're not called back to the United States, something like along those lines.
I remember I had that mantle over my shoulders, and
mantle,
I had that staff in my
hand.
Yeah,
the staff, and it's not God's will for you to move away from this beautiful place.
That's why we've always said, Brian loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's been said many times.
But my point was, I think the need in New Zealand for good, solid Bible churches is pretty huge.
Yes, absolutely.
And you thought the same thing. It's like, mm-hmm. why do I want to go leave here and go back to the U.S.?
Yep. Florida, of all places.
Florida, of all right. places. And yet, this is the point. This is calling. God called you there.
It's calling. It was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, I like Florida, by the way, just for the record, some things about it.
And so, going back to what you said, Clay, or whichever one of you said it, you know, where's the place to plant a church? Plant a church, the place God called you to plant a church.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I couldn't agree more. Like, I think about that idea of calling and with that, God calls you to places that he's equipped you for, and he's, you know, kind of created you for. Like, I think about my experience. God called me to Ireland. I knew nothing about Ireland when I went there. It turned out I fit in pretty well because they're a very sarcastic, you know, quick-witted people, the culture there. It's very humor-based, and
you have red
it's a
hair
lot
too,
of fun.
Kinda? You have
no,
like a red...
people say it's not. It's
not true.
It used to be blonde, now it's just brown dirt. But but anyway, my point is if if I tried to go to Germany, I wouldn't survive 10 minutes in Germany, you know, and my personality wouldn't fit there, and the Lord knows, and I didn't know, but the Lord knows. And so, yeah, like you said, it's if we're looking at need, we'll be spread so many different, and need is absolutely everywhere. And the fact of the matter is Orange County needs more churches.
That's a good point. You know? You could go anywhere and plant a church and it would be a great addition.
Yeah. As long as it's God leading you there.
God leading.
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay. But how do you know where God's leading you? That's a good,
it is.
Ooh. That's a good question.
Clay, can you tell us where, how do we know?
Well, you pick up your phone and you call Brian Broderson. No, you know,
1-800, right? Brian knows.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny because people ask that often, right? And to me, it's one of those things where there's not one way God's going to call you to something. But the fact of the matter is, if you're seeking God to go into ministry, then you know how to hear his voice. That kind of implies that you've got a relationship with him and that you have the Holy Spirit alive mm-hmm. within you. And so with that, you know how to recognize when God is calling you and leading you to something, and you just got to listen because he's good at it. He's good at communicating. When I was first called to Ireland, it came through this random series of events where some friends were watching a surf video. I don't even surf. Watching a surf video that was based in Ireland, talking about the religious and political tension between the North of Ireland and the Republic, and that planted the seed in my mind and my heart that would not go away, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. And so I started to think, well, maybe God's calling me there. And then when I was called to hand that church over and come back to the United States, the calling to the Bay Area near San Francisco literally came through sitting down with Brian.
So it is true. You knew.
I did. I just said, hey, I think the Lord's calling us. I kind of feel like we're called back to California. But I don't know where. Do you know of anything? And he's like, I just got an email about this little church that needs somebody to kind of replant it in the Bay Area. And we'd visited the Bay a lot because one of my mentors was in San Francisco. And so we're like, all right, we'll pray about it. And sure enough, the Lord said yes. So I think it's just a number of ways that God could do it. But you know when God's really calling you to something, when you feel like by not doing it in your spirit, you kind of feel like you're being
wrong.
Disobedient,
yeah.
You know?
What do you think, Brian? You asked the question. Do you know the answer? Like, I'm a new church, but I want to go plant a church. How do I know where God's sending me?
Well, I think there's going to be some sense, I think, of desire.
Yeah.
Or compelling is maybe even better than desire. Because, it might be a place that you look at and go, I don't want to go there. Hmm. Like Florida.
Florida, yeah. Yeah. I like
it. If anybody from your church listens to this podcast,
I know they're like, Pastor, you said you love Florida.
Is that how they talk?
So, no, they don't. My wife's over in the corner. She's like, nobody talks like that.
You can get in serious trouble on this already.
I know, yeah. Man. There's going to have to be a lot of editing.
So again, compelling is what I would say versus desire. But I think desire is going to, at some point at least, be some kind of a factor. And for some people, that might be the thing. I just, when I went to England, I wanted to go. Mm. I wanted to mm-hmm. go to England. I felt compelled. I felt like the Lord, you know, sort of it was a process of elimination. I had the conviction to plant a church in not just England, but in London specifically, not just in London. London's a big city. I had a vision to plant a church in the heart of London. Mm. When I shared that with my British friends, they just said, that's never going to happen because you can't, there's no place to do it.
Right.
You know, there's no, what do you mean? There's no facilities available and so forth. But that's ended up being exactly what we did. But I, initially, I thought, because I'd been church planting as a church who would send out people, we would be the sender.
Yeah.
You know, I would go with a team, we would do outreach, people would come to faith, and then we would send somebody, okay, we're going to establish a church here. And I'd been doing that all over Europe. And so I thought the same thing with London. That's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't see myself as actually being the one who was going to go do it until, just through a process of time, prayer, elimination, suddenly I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I think I'm the one that the Lord is wanting mm-hmm. to send on this. So there's a variety of different ways. And I think in some cases there are times where people, you literally just stumble into it. You don't even mm-hmm. know that that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And you just end mm-hmm. up doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's that organic part of it about the spirit and everything. And And when you do stumble into it, give us a call, connect with us, because we'll help you. There's a lot of, I mean, this leads me kind of to my next question, but what are some of those things you did in the early days of the church plant that, if you would have known now what you know then, what would you have done different?
Well, you know, I kind of did a replant. My first church was basically a replant in North San Diego County. And I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, so we use that terminology now, replant, but back then I wouldn't have even known that. Mm-hmm. It was a church with a, you know, couple dozen people that had had, at one time in its history, it had had a few hundred people. Mm-hmm. But it just, you know, never stuck and kind of was falling apart and was sort of on its last leg. And I just ended up, through a process of events, going there and becoming the pastor of that small group. And God built that into a really significant church that became a hub for church planting and mission. Mm-hmm. When I went to the UK and planted from the ground up, starting with zero, you know, so that was a kind of a whole different approach. As I look back on it now, I don't know that I would do anything that much different. I think what I might, the one thing I think I might do today that I didn't do back then, I think I would be more intentional about, you know, London's a big city. It's a very multi-ethnic city. We had a very multi-ethnic church, mm-hmm. but I think I would be a little more intentional about the multi-ethnic element of it. I think in my own mind, I was a little bit sometimes too preoccupied with, you know, got to reach the white, you know, English person.
England person.
Yeah. Versus like all of the people that God just has there. And it wasn't like a big thing. It was more, nobody would even know it probably except me. And now everybody knows except
everybody.
Said it.
Yeah. But all of our billion listeners.
But exactly. Yes. So anyway, just recognizing, I mean, obviously, you know, you're in England, you think I'm here for the English, but then no, I'm actually in the most, you know, an international city with people from all over the world, and God wants to do something with these people that he's brought to the city, who are actually probably going to at times go back to the country they came from.
Exactly.
And you're gonna, so anyway, I think I just would have had a little more intentional focus on that.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to hang out with you guys and, you know,
it's been fun. Any last words? Anything on your heart that you want to get out there? Talk about me and Clay a little bit. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
I like you guys. You know, I'm not all that fond of your tattoos, but nevertheless, it is what it is.
What's done is done.
It's a generational thing.
I've gotten used to it. I'm not going to get a tattoo, just so you know.
Okay. All right. Get that on the record.
A lot of peer pressure lately, you know,
for
me to do that. But all joking aside, I'm really thankful for you guys, for just our relationship as friends and co-laborers in the gospel. I'm really thankful for what he's doing with you and in you and through you, both, you know, with the church and with the network. And I'm looking forward to good days ahead. So, I'm strangely optimistic. I think there's, you know, there is some pessimism in the church today about the future.
just a little.
I'm strangely optimistic. I just feel like, hey, God's moving. And let's just keep our eyes on what God's doing, and let's keep, you know, let's just keep moving forward. So,
Amen.
Love it. Clay?
I just agree completely. God's doing a good thing. All we have to do is stay faithful. Not grow weary in doing good.
1,000 churches in 10 years.
You know, we can't do it, but the Lord can.
Lord can do it.
Amen.
And he can use us.
He can use us. Yeah, he's really good at that.
CultivateChurchPlanting.com if you want to connect and get some more information. Thanks, guys, for being on the show.
You're welcome.
God bless. Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. For more information on church planting or to get involved with the Cultivate program, visit cultivatechurchplanting.com. You can also find us on social media and YouTube at Cultivate Church Planting. We'll see you next time.